Let's think a little bit, shall we, about what God might have to say to us today through his word about ourselves, about who he is, and about how that relates to these folk and this situation, this project in Nepal, and the sort of projects, the sort of situations that we might come across in our day-to-day life as well. I really like the theme of BMS this year, Good Lands. I really like the principle of what it's seeking to do, because I think it speaks volumes about God and what God wants to do for all people and for us. And it does so in two ways. I think it echoes God's heart. First, that he dwells with his people. And that then through that dwelling with his people, he brings a life of blessing, of abundance, of wholeness, of fulfillment in Jesus. That's what God longs when he's dwelling with us. And we see that throughout scripture. We see it right from the beginning. Adam and Eve, God dwelt with them. He walked with them in the garden. That was his longing. They said no. It was his longing for people to dwell amongst the people of Israel. You remember the temple, the tabernacle, and God in the temple at the very heart. But the people said no. And it's what he longs for God's people today. And we'll come to all of those things and think about that in a moment. But that verse that you saw in the video clip there, in the reflection, comes from Deuteronomy. And we see it really clearly in that verse. And you might think, why would you go to Deuteronomy? Isn't that full of laws? And isn't that all about the history of Israel coming out of captivity in Egypt before they get to the promised land? Yes, it is. It's full of that. But as it tells the story of God's people and his involvement with them, we're reminded first of who God is, and second, who he's called us to be when we come together. So let me put the verse on the screen again so that you can just make note of it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, it's verse 7 that we're going to think about particularly, but I'll read 7 to 9. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. That's the title of this harvest theme, good land. A land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. The whole context of this verse is about recognizing God's protection and his provision. It's a message to the people of Israel, and it tells them something unique about God. The heart of God is to bless his people, is to give them all of this. And this is imagery, just symbolic of so much more that he wanted to give them. It's a reminder of the unique God that we have, a God who enters into a covenant relationship with his people. And the great thing about God having a covenant with us is he always keeps it. And the wonderful thing is that he longs as part of that covenant to bring blessing, to bring wonderful things. So that imagery comes out in that line, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out. And it allows us to imagine abundance and the provision that God is providing for his people. And of course, as we've been through the year that we have just managed to negotiate, it's a reminder of how important those things are. Just a few weeks ago, our lawns were brown. We had pretty much no water for 3 months. There's now been a report just out this late last week. I was looking into it, and they said it's now recognized it has been the driest summer in Europe for 500 years. And certainly as we were on holiday and we're driving, we saw what should have been huge rivers flowing through cities that had been reduced to a mere stream, trickle in the center with big rocks on either side. That's the opposite of the picture that's painted in that verse of brooks and streams and deep springs. God is saying to his people, this is what I want to bring to you. I want to bring you blessing. And it's why it's a powerful verse to think about as we reflect on what BMS is doing in this village of Gusan. Because it reminds us that the people of Israel were being worked with. God was working with them and through them, even when they were out in the desert. Of course, that's when this was written. That's when Deuteronomy was written. It's in the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It comes just after the people have come out of the captivity in Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land, but they're still in the desert. And God is reminding his people. He's hinting at what is coming as he dwells with them. It's something that should have come after just a few weeks. But because they chose not to invite God to dwell with them, it ended up being 40 years. But it's what God wants. It's this sense of something is coming and a change is coming. They're going to have a change of fortune. They were going to start living in a good land, whereas they were currently living in a desert or barren land. And that's what we see echoed in this community in Gusan, the promise of their land becoming more fruitful, becoming a good land. And we know that that's what God wants for us. He wants us to know a good land. We know that Jesus promises life and life in all its abundance in him. That comes incidentally when he is invited to dwell with us. And we know it's coming in eternity. Of course, Jesus said, we heard it this week. I think we might have had it in one of our prayer times, but we certainly had it at the weekend when we were listening to the Queen's funeral. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's the words of Jesus. That's coming in eternity. But before then, we have Jesus now. And as a consequence of that, we have hopes. We have aspirations of what the blessings of Jesus will mean for us. We have hopes for those that we love. I hope you have hopes for the future of our church community. It's why some of us have been praying every day this week, asking God to speak to our hearts, to open up the possibilities, to understand and say, we're in this with you. Lord, would you come and dwell with us and be in this? As we think about what the opportunities might be, those dreams and aspirations. And for Gusan, those dreams and aspirations are really practical. Education, livelihood, health, being able to stand on their own two feet. Women have the opportunity to speak out and say things that are relevant. Clean water, a better future. And it's the whole community coming together and being benefited and playing their part as they flourish and start to become a community living in a good land. Well, those dreams become possible when God is invited to be in them. That's what Deuteronomy 8:7 reminds us. It reminds us that God isn't distant. He's not distracted. He's not that he doesn't know the circumstances that we are facing. He's not disconnected. On the contrary, he comes to bring wholeness and goodness by working in and through his people. And that's what we're seeing in BMS. And in just the same way that we have hopes and aspirations for those that we love, for our church, for our communities, in just the same way, so does Goosell. And that's what connects us, because their story is just the same as our story. And today, God's inviting us to partner with him as he dwells in communities like this one in Nepal, and the sort of communities that we live in the UK. He invites us to partner with him so that we do our bit. We invite God to dwell within these communities, and as a result, they become good land. Land where restoration can take place, healing can take place, where things are happening. We do our bit. We invite God in, and he does the restoration, the transformation. And he brings wholeness where Christ is invited to take his place. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of this happening in a practical way already, right now, in our church, through something that Mick and Angie told us about a couple of weeks ago. And I can share it because they're not here this morning, so they're not going to be embarrassed by it. But one of the things they wanted to do was bless the community around them. They had been blessed this year with an abundance of fruit off the pear tree. They'd got apples, they've got all sorts of things. And what they chose to do was to put some trays outside. That's trays, I don't know what they were, a stand outside both their front and rear gardens, outside them, and put all of this fruit on with a note to the community saying, please just take whatever you like and be blessed by it. And people did. And the conversations that came back were amazing. A number of people who came back and had conversations about faith. A Nigerian chap who said he was lonely, didn't have anybody to talk to in this country. And now he dropped in and had tea with Mick and Angie. Someone else said, this is what our community needs. It needs transformation. It needs people to bring blessing. And that's what happened, because Mick and Angie sought to do something to bring God into their situation and use what they had to make a difference. As disciples, that's what God calls us to. We're people sent out into the world with a responsibility to share the words and in actions, of course, what God's heart is. I think so much in the past, the church has shared the rules, the regulations, what the Bible says in it, don't do this, don't do that. And what we've not done is said, do you know that God loves you so much that he gave his son to come into the world to die for you? That's how much God loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you in eternity, to turn a bad life into a good life, to turn bad land into a good land. That's what he wants us to be sharing. And that's what we do as we start to communicate these things to people in our small parts of the world, wherever we're mixing with. As disciples, we're called to model this life in Jesus, a life of abundance, which is the good land, which comes when we invite Jesus to dwell in us. And as we do, we begin to show that heart that God has for the world in the communities around us. We show it in church life We show it to those who see us. We show that God has made space for everybody in this world to know his blessing, to know a good land, to know a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. Isn't that what the world desperately needs right now? Well, we're seeing that modeled this morning by BMS workers operating in Goosell. And in it, we see that God doesn't want us to remain distant from communities. He wants to be dwelling at the heart of that community. And he often does that through us, through BMS in this context, because that's what he did in this world. He came to dwell in it. He came to serve us. And I believe that calling is for us to model that as a church today, not to demand that people come to us and follow what we do, but rather that see that God wants to come and dwell with them and see how we can bless them. And in this verse, we're reminded that it's our God who does that transforming work. Did you notice it was God who would lead them into the good land? It's really important that we don't think this is us. This is not about me. There's nothing for us to boast in. It's not us who does the transforming work. It's God through Jesus who does it. It's the Holy Spirit who prompts. It's the Holy Spirit who will speak into people's lives as a result of them hearing testimony about the faithfulness of the Queen in the funeral last week that was beamed to billions across the planet. It will be the Holy Spirit that speaks, not the Archbishop of Canterbury. He just did what God asked him to do, which is bring God to dwell in that situation. That's what BMS is doing. That's what we get to do. And I believe God is calling each of us to respond by partnering with him in bringing wholeness to communities. And you know what community it is that is around you specifically, to show the good lands that can be theirs, to be Jesus' hands and feet. That's what the BMS worker would do. That's what we will do as we give support to them to enable them to do their job. And it's what we can do in our local communities, as individuals, as a church. So my final question to you is this: what resources, what skills, what opportunities has God given you to help bring about good land for other people? How do we play our part? How can you enter into transforming communities with the good news of Jesus? Because that's who we're here to be. People who know it as a reality, because God is dwelling in us, and then show it as a reality to others. Because that is God's heart. Isn't it time that we really started to show it? Let's pray.